Thank you. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hope you had a good night's rest and a good breakfast, and you're ready for the 8-hour session this morning. We'll take a break at 3, but only for 3 minutes. Welcome to Mount Hermon. Yes. Well, it's really a privilege to be with you. My wife and I is one of you. We are associates as well, and we're delighted that it worked out to be able to be with you. Kathy's not with me this particular weekend, but she's here with her prayers and her support of you guys. So thank you for allowing us to be here and allowing me to tell a little bit of my story, because we all have a story. And in this room, we all have a story about how Mount Hermon has touched our lives in one way or another. Mine might be a little different than some of you, but maybe not. I was born and raised back east. I was born and raised in Philadelphia and stayed there until I graduated high school. And that usually is a goal for anyone who grows up in Philadelphia, get out as soon as it's legal. And so I left and went to college in Florida, and then I went to Dallas Seminary, and then I came back and I taught at the college that I had done my undergrad in Florida. It was at that time when I was teaching in Florida that the board of the college brought in a chapel speaker that absolutely fell in love with the student body of the Bible College, and the Bible College fell in love with him as well. This guy's name was Chuck Swindoll. And I remember very vividly, because I've always been interested in kind of speakers and writers and stuff like that, he had his very first manuscript in his briefcase with him. And it was good old, you know, typed on a IBM Selectric, you know, it was the old days. And I thought that was really interesting. And we developed a friendship, and in 1980, he offered me a position at Insight for Living in Fullerton, and so the entire Butterworth family moved from South Florida to Southern California. It was in those later years in the East Coast that I started to hear about a very special place. And when I had gone to Dallas Seminary, like so many people, I kind of went there specifically to kind of get underneath the teaching of a particular professor, Howard Hendricks. And so he was known as Prof, and Prof would oftentimes refer to this magical place in California called Mount Hermon. And then, of course, Chuck has a rich history with Mount Hermon as well, and he would talk about it as well. And I thought, man, this is really amazing that both of these guys talk about this. This would really be some fun place to go sometime. And so I think what makes my story a little bit unique is my very first experience with Mount Hermon was as a speaker. I mean, I didn't come as a conferee with my family. I got grandfathered in because I was working for Chuck, and Chuck said, well, come along, and you can do the mornings, and I'll do the evenings. And it's really good to have a guy with those kind of coattails when you're trying to, you know, find your way in a new part of the country. And so that is where my Mount Hermon story began. And it's either 29 or 30 years ago. I'll round it up just so that it's easier. 30 years ago, we started coming to Mount Hermon. So I thought, just to make the story a little more creative, I would talk to you this morning about four specific spots here on the campus that have had a huge impact on me. And I can actually relate them to a passage of Scripture. And then I also want to tell you about, in my mind, something that's even more important than these holy grounds, and that's the exceptional people that are here at Mount Hermon. So if you're looking for a title, it's four places, four proverbs, and four people, okay? So if I'm only on two and it's 2 hours into it, you know I'm running behind, okay? So the first place I would give you is right where we are. It's the auditorium. For a guy like me 30 years ago to come and stand here was an honor beyond belief, and it still is an honor to this day. If you know anything about the history of Mount Hermon, some of the most significant Bible teachers, definitely in the country, maybe the world, have stood here. Now, I don't know if this is the actual lectern and this is the carpet. I don't think this is the carpet. A lot of this, I think, is actual. But anyway, to stand here, where even just my two mentors, Prof and Chuck, stood for years and years and years. I mean, it's an amazing honor for me to be here, to think about all the godly men and women who have stood at this platform. And it reminded me, and these are all familiar Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 14 says, "The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life." The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life. And then verse 20 says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise." That really, I can identify with that second phrase. I'm not sure why I got invited initially, other than Chuck brought me along. But I may have been perceived as wise because I was walking with the wise at that particular point. It always makes me think of this ridiculous story about the farmer who entered his mule into the Kentucky Derby. And they said, "Well, why did you do that?" And he said, "Well, I knew he wouldn't win, but I thought the association would do him good." I mean, I'm the mule, folks. I've been blessed for years and years and years to be surrounded by really good people who have taught me. And a few years after I had worked with Chuck, I guess about 7-8 years, I launched out on my own. And for now, all these years, I've been speaking and writing full time. And the speaking part of it requires me to be normally speaking at a local church for a weekend service. So consequently, my involvement in a Sunday service is almost always as a speaker. I mean, a typical year, I do about 45 weekends. And so one of the gaps that I had always felt, I mean, I can get involved in midweek stuff and men's stuff, but it was always great to come here to Mount Hermon to sit in this auditorium and know that I was the morning speaker, but there was an evening speaker as well, and that evening speaker could feed my soul. And I could go away energized and refreshed and exhilarated because of what I learned here at Mount Hermon as well. So the honor of being here in this auditorium, I hope I never take for granted. I mean, this is really a very special place. And I know so many of you, you know where I'm coming from on this. I'm not making this, you know, a whole, this is not the place where Jesus was born and we should all be bowing. I mean, I'm not making it holy, that kind of, you know, touristy by an e-ticket. I'm just saying these are really important places in my life. So that's a place, and there was a proverb there. And I would have to tell you, from back in those early days, 30 years ago, probably the first people the Butterworth family connected with beyond a casual acquaintance was the program director back then, Ken Harrower, and his wife, Mary. And Ken and Mary became, and are to this day, very, very dear friends. They are kind of the ultimate couple in our view, because Ken has all this theological and pastoral training, and Mary is a marriage and family therapist. So the Harrowers, you may know them as the Harrowers, but actually Ken is the Butterworth family pastor, and Mary is the Butterworth family therapist. And if you're doing the math, we do emphasize more time with Mary than we do with Ken, just so you know, we're in the same boat you are. But I remember, and many of you know my story, when I went through a very, very dark period of my life, which, believe it or not, is 20 years ago now, when I went through my divorce. And I was ashamed. I was humiliated. And I remember coming down here by myself Ken and Mary and I took a walk, and if you can believe it, a person of my seeming intelligence tried to pull this scam on Ken and Mary. I remember saying, I have a friend back where I live who really needs to talk to somebody. And I'm wondering if you have a counselor that you know in my area that I can go, I mean, that my friend can go see. And bless their hearts, they would say, well, tell me more about what your friend is feeling. And I mean, it was so obvious that it was me. I mean, why I would weep so for my friend that they had never heard of, never met. And you know what? They never once asked for the person's name. I mean, they played it out because they understood my pain. And you can't replace that. And I am so blessed that they are in our lives. And 7 years after my divorce, I met my wife, Kathy, and we asked Ken to perform our wedding ceremony and Mary to do our premarital counseling. And I had these five kids, and Kathy had no kids in her previous marriage. And Ken and Mary, God bless them, they put us through all these diagnostic tests and everything. And I remember sitting down underneath here, the counseling room, is that underneath, right? Yeah. They said, well, everything looks good, except there's one issue, and it came out of the computer like with a serious red flag. I mean, it's like, warning, warning. And I said, uh-oh, what's going on? It says, well, under the question, how many kids do you want, Bill, you put zero, and Kathy, you put five. This could nix the whole deal. And I said, well, okay, I think we can make that work out. So thank you, Ken and Mary, for investing in the lives of some people who just happened to be on the grounds for a week in the summer, and then another week in the summer, and then a couples conference or a men's conference. You were there, and you saw this beyond a job. You saw it as your ministry. So that's really, really significant. So that's the first place, the auditorium, okay? The place, in my mind, the place of honor. Okay. Now, second place, we got to take a little walk, and you can do it mentally. You don't have to get up and go with me, but we're going to walk down the road here, and we're going to walk down like past the kids' building there, and we're going to walk like we're heading to the swimming pool, except that I've been to other swimming pools, and I've played in the game rooms, ping pong, and I've done all the stuff. But once you head towards the swimming pool, you got to go over that bridge, over this creek, and it was the creek that I want you to focus on for a second, because that's the next place I want to talk about a little bit. It's nice to see people my age. Because many of you go back to those days when Mount Hermon was a simpler place. I mean, I am all for all the bells and whistles that are going on now, and as long as I don't ever have to get strapped into any of those ropes, flying saucers, or you know, World's Fair events that they have going on here, I'm fine. But I will never forget the first summer that we took our kids down to the creek to go creek walking. I mean, does that sound like, you know, when we met Abraham and Mary Lincoln there, and General Grant pulled up and we enjoyed a cigar? You know, I mean, it's like, how long ago was that? Well, 30 years ago, that was one of the big deals for a family to do at the camp. And I remember, if it was 30 years ago, I mean, that's pretty amazing. Joy was 8 and Jesse was 7. And Jeffrey was 4, and John was 2, and Joseph wasn't even born yet. And I remember we got down there, and we had been forewarned. I guess the Swindolls had told us, you know, bring along an old pair of shoes that you never want to wear again in the history of your life. And put those on and go down and just walk the creek together. And we got in that creek, and we had the most fun. And in typical you know, city slicker. I didn't do a lot of creek walking in downtown Philly, so I'm pretty green on all this. And I remember walking the creek and thinking, man, this is easy. This is great, and this is fun. never realizing I was walking with the current. And if I wanted to get back to where we started, I'd have to walk against the current. Well, now, I'm not talking about whitewater rafting here, but I am talking about four kids, eight and under. And I'm supposed to be the, you know, patriarchal leader. And I'm like, whoa, this is tough. And I remember walking through there, and we got so, you know, the current would just take us, and we would just go, and we'd start on this side of the creek, and we'd end up on the other. And we got to where we had to stop because we lost all strength because we were laughing so hard at one another. And if you've ever had one of those magic family moments where everybody's just pointing at each other, like, that's really, you are really funny right now. If you could see yourself, oh, no, no, you should see you. You are really funny right now. And the happiness that we had in that special little moment, it's one of those times you just want to freeze. And you think, boy, you know, the kids are going to grow up and they're going to move away and they're going to have their lives and all that's really good. But I wish I could just have this one little moment of happiness down at the creek forever and ever and ever. It was really, really great. You know the proverb on this, Proverbs 17:22. A joyful heart is good medicine. And I know from 30 years of talking to a lot of people who would take me aside and they'd say, you know, this is the one week of the year we can guarantee there will be laughter in our family. There's not a lot of laughter the other 51 weeks for whatever the danger that's going on, whatever the dysfunction, whatever's going on. It's really, really a difficult time. But the happiness that this place brings is in my mind beyond description. It is just holy happiness. It's really so much fun, and it feeds us. You know, that whole idea of joy as the a joyful heart, the Hebrew word, sema, means to rejoice or to be cheerful, but it also means to be discerning. That this is not just a laugh for a laugh, but this is something that brings laughter, brings joy, because you realize there's purpose behind it. And like you, I sat here last night and listened to all these different folks tell their stories of campers and conferees whose lives have been transformed, and you think, that is the kind of joy that Mount Hermon is all about. And the laughter that comes out of an entertaining week like this, because it is, it's fun, and that's why kids are engaged, and that's why families get along, and it's really, really a good time. So the auditorium's a place of honor, but the creek is always a place of happiness for me. And when I think of happiness, there is a couple, and they actually happen to be in the room, who have brought a lot of happiness to the Butterworths, and that's Dave and Carla Talbot. You know, when you're a funny guy, you pray every night that God will bring along what I call the consummate straight man. The person that you can poke fun at, that, first of all, will give it right back to you. I mean, he's no slouch. He's not just sitting there taking it like a schlump. He is, he's bright, he's intelligent, he gives it right back. But nonetheless, he is the consummate, the ultimate straight man. If there's nothing else to do from the front, it's let's make a joke at Dave Talbot's expense. You know, and Dave and I have done a lot of fun stuff together, and there were skits. You were dressed up like Friar Tuck one year, and Dave and I, one of my favorite fun memories, if you don't know this, Dave is good at the keyboard, and he just brought in this brand new organ. So I don't know how many years that was. Is it still this organ? It's not. See, I'm like a used car salesman. This is like four Chevys ago. But anyway, they brought in this organ, and the latest bell and whistle on the new organ was you could actually record yourself playing, and then you could hit a button, and it would play it back. And so Dave and I came up with the beautiful, brilliant comedy idea. Let's do an organ and piano duet together. And Dave will sit over at the piano and play, and I will sit at the organ And I do not play anything on the keyboard beyond chopsticks, all right? And so, but it'll be pre-recorded, and it will blow everybody away because they'll think, my goodness, this Bill Butler, he's multi-talented. Listen to that beautiful organ, and he's hitting the pedals, and he's doing all the, you know, arpeggios, and the, it's got its own GPS. I mean, it's just got everything going there, and we're just doing all this, and of course, we built in that the gag would soon be up, that, you know, we'd play two verses, and then we both got up and bowed, and while I'm bowing, the organ kicks into the third verse, and I'm quickly running over like, yeah, that was me. I can do it from a lot. And we have had so much fun over the years, and Kathy, my wife, and Carla are like twins separated at birth. They just need a nanosecond to jump right into what's going on. And I have to tell you, Mount Hermon invited us to go along and speak on one of their Alaskan cruises. And I remember we were on the cruise, and one afternoon, Dave and Carla said, come on over to the game room. We want to teach you a game. And it was a game that they called Speed Scrabble. You can play Scrabble without the Scrabble board. All you need is the tiles, and you just keep building words. And we played that. We played that for hours on that cruise. And my wife came home and immediately bought a second set of Scrabble. And we travel with the tiles because we play Speed Scrabble on the tray on the airplane, which is really pretty challenging because it just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and the flight attendant keeps saying, you got to put the tray up, we're leaving. I can't. I'm very close to beating her, you know. Tell the pilot to make another circle around, you know. I've got to beat her once in Speed Scrabble, all right? And so thank you for introducing us to that. That was some fun stuff. So, I mean, you get what I'm saying. You get the theme here. There are some amazing locales in the Mount Hermon grounds. But it's really the people that build into our lives. I mean, as these men and women shared the stories last night, I mean, it's the people. It's the counselors that they talk to. It's the staff. It's the teachers. It's just those quiet conversations that take place. That's where some really good stuff happens. Okay, so we've got the auditorium as a place of honor. We got the creek as a place of happiness. Here's the third. Right up here is a little spot called the chapel. And I hope you've all been to the chapel at one point or another. The chapel is intentionally very small. It has a stained glass window in the front. It has an organ. It has good old-fashioned church pews. And it is almost always absolutely silent. And therefore, it is a great place, especially in the middle of a family camp week where there's all the laughing and carrying on and all the good noise of people having a good time. It's a good place to just kind of go and sit and reflect. And so, like I said, about 20 years ago when I went through this agonizing divorce, I got off the road, I got off the circuit and did my very best to try to heal up. And after I had put myself under a group of guys and a counselor and people that I said, you tell me when you think I'm ready to go back out on the road. I'm not going to make that decision by myself. And I remember after a period of healing that these guys, all wise, godly men said, okay, I think you can start going out and speaking again. And you may want to let people know your story because, I mean, it's a pretty dramatic thing. And as you can imagine, today it would be the same, and 20 years ago it was no different. There were a lot of places that thought because I was divorced, I was through, that my days of teaching anything in a Christian format are over. Maybe you should look at real estate or Nordstrom's is always hiring. You would do great with shoes, you know. And they basically told me I was damaged goods and there was no future. But not this place. Not this place. They said, you let us know when you're ready. You come back. And I said, well, the calendar's pretty open because a lot of places I was scheduled for took me off and they said, and we don't need you again. And I remember that you, right here, they said, well, let us know all those free dates and let's see what we can do to help you fill them. I mean, that's amazing. And I remember I was here during that time and I stole away from my kids. It was like the last day of camp. It was like Friday afternoon. And kids were all occupied doing stuff. And I snuck over to the chapel all by myself. And I remember very, very vividly that that's where I had one of the most significant conversations with God that I had ever had as an adult. And what basically came out of that conversation with God was me finally, after 7 years of being a single again man, saying to God, I give up. I surrender. I am yours. I will do whatever you want me to do in any way you want me to do it. And the specific issue I had, so God, that means if you want me to be a single man the rest of my life, I'll do it. It's not always what I thought I was going to do, but if that's what you are all I need, I'll do it. And I'm crying a river up there. I mean, it's just crazy. But it was so significant to me. It made such a huge difference. And it doesn't always happen this way, but it sometimes happens this way. No sooner did I make that commitment to remain single the rest of my life than just a few months later, I met Kathy. And it was like, well, God, if this is what you want, I'm willing to adjust the plan if this is what you want. And God was really good about that. You know what? The two most famous proverbs in my mind are Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. But if you ever read 7 and 8, it goes on to say, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Listen to this first phrase of verse 8. It will be healing to your body. Trusting God will heal all that's going on in your life. It'll heal it. And that's what happened in that chapel. It was a place of healing. And when I think of people, I go all the way to the top. Roger and Rachel Williams at that point, Roger was the guy that was saying, you come no matter what, we'll fill whatever date somebody's leaving you out in the cold, come on, let's, and their grace, their love, their unconditional acceptance for me is something that I will never get over because they were there for me when I really, really needed somebody. So I'm really grateful for that. So the auditorium's a place of honor. Creek's a place of happiness. Chapel's a place of healing. We're going to go down the hill now, one last place, down to Victory Circle. And I've, over 30 years, like you, sat through a lot of Victory Circles. And I've heard a lot of people talking about a lot of different things. And I've sat through them here, and I've sat through them for years. Mount Hermon ran another conference up in the Lake Tahoe area, and I sat through Victory Circles up there as well. And I remember one particular Victory Circle where a man stood up, a big man, a man's man, and he stood up, and he didn't get more than a sentence into it, and he was weeping. And the basic message of his victory was that he was so happy that his full family had made it to a Mount Hermon conference, finally. That they'd been working on it for years, that all this healing had taken place so that the adult kids were there and the grandkids. And I mean, it was great. And I remember everybody applauded and everybody thought it was really cool. And I went back to my room and I thought, that really is cool. And I envy that. And that'll never happen to me. And then God began to heal our family. And not too many years later, I sat down at Victory Circle and had my entire family of adult children and daughters-in-laws and son-in-law and all there. And I got to help in communion that night. So I got to stand up and I just got to look at that row. And I just choked up. It was like really amazing. What a testimony of hope. What a testimony of hope. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14 says, "Where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory." That through all the stuff that I've been through, Mount Hermon's been there all the time, and it's become a place of hope for me. That the beauty of the future, the biblical idea of hope is joyfully anticipating what's ahead, is represented every day here at Mount Hermon. It's a great spot. So when I think of the future, when I think of hope beyond Victory Circle, I think of not only all these old dear friends that I have, and by old, I mean we've been friends for a long time. Dave is just a spring chicken, as you can see. But I think of all the new friends that I have here, the new Mount Hermon that's coming along. And a lot of these guys have logged a lot of years too, but as I get to know them better and think about, you know, people like Lisa and Alden and Don and Bill and JR and Murphy and Carrie and Dave and Andrew, and I'm in big trouble because there's like 65 more names I should say, and that's all I wrote down. Everybody makes a difference here at Mount Hermon. It's a great place to be. And I think the best days are ahead, and it gives me great honor to think that I can still be a small part of it. So that's my story. That's the news from Lake Butterbegone. But I want you to know that this is a very special place to Kathy and me. As associates, we are so glad that this is a place of honor. This is a place of happiness. This is a place of healing. And this is a place of hope. So thank you for your part, because you represent the hope as well. The associates are such a special group. I'm glad to be a part, and thank you for letting me tell my story.
Thank you, Bill. Super encouraging. I always love his teaching. I appreciate his friendship dearly. My name is Bill Fernald. I serve on staff here as a director of guest services. And I know many of you, and I get the opportunity once in a while to share with you great stories of ministry going on throughout the year here at Mount Hermon. It's one of my favorite things to be a part of and then to tell you about, because I absolutely love summer, and you're very familiar with Family Camp and the programs that are happening here at all three sites. But it's the rest of the year that there's so much going on that a lot of you don't get to hear or you're not familiar with. So it's fun for me to share that with you. And I'm going to take that a little bit and tie it into something very important that we're working on in terms of the ministry. And there's a barrier right now that we're hitting, and we need help to get through it, and we're working on it. But quickly, I just want to bring you up to speed that throughout the year here at all of our sites, there are incredible ministry programs going on that aren't sponsored by Mount Hermon. We're hosting them. There are church groups and parachurch ministries from all around the state and the country coming here, calling this place their home. And this is the base for what God is doing in their ministry as people go out. And I've shared this many times with you, and it never gets old with me, but in 3 John, when he's writing to an innkeeper, just to encourage him, he says to this man, you know, when you provide meals and a bed to the Christians who are on their path, on this travel, they're just stopping off at this hotel along the way, you become their companions in spreading the truth. And I love that. And every year, that sinks in more and more, that we're companions in spreading the truth. And that's exactly what we do. And we have church groups coming here from Iranian Christian Church, the Western Hills Arabic Church, multiple Asian churches, South American, Russian churches, and all the Bay Area Presbyterian, Baptist, you name it, calling this place home. We serve World Vision global leaders this year. So those heading up the operation in their country, we're here at Mount Hermon to be encouraged. We're companions in spreading the truth. And what Bill was talking about was so true in my life, too. This is my 18th year at Mount Hermon. I came alongside and under Ron DeMoller. I wanted to be next to wisdom like that. And to be brought into the friendship and mentoring of the Talbots and the Harrowers, DeMoller's, Williams, and my friends and coworkers, it's just been extraordinary. And I know that if you spend time at Mount Hermon, that depth gets into you. You know what I'm talking about. It's why you're here. So in these weekends, for many of them, it's their first experience with Mount Hermon. In any given Friday night when we're in here in the auditorium and the place is packed out, how many, this is your first time at Mount Hermon? 90%. And it's just hard for me to figure, well, where were you last year? It's just every weekend it's like that. And people you just wouldn't believe we're having a reach into is happening right here at all three of our sites at Santa Cruz Mountains. We don't get that time. We don't get years with them to really invest and for them to experience what makes Mount Hermon so special in a weekend. And so some things become barriers. And one of them that has been so for the last several years is our accommodations. And you wouldn't think, or maybe you're like, yes, finally. But you might think, well, that shouldn't be a big deal. There's more to Mount Hermon than just the accommodations. But remember, this is the first time they're stepping foot on these grounds. And I look out here and I see my good friend Shelley Hernandez, who was leading our registration department for many years with such excellence. And she'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But the guests will come to the counter, and you're so excited they're here. Welcome to Mount Hermon. Where are you staying? I'll get your key. We're in Hawthorne Cabin. And we're so excited because we're looking forward to a cozy cabin on this dark, rainy night in Mount Hermon in December. And then you turn around to the key box and you pray, oh, Lord, as you hand them that key shaking. It's why we put the theme verse above the key box now. Remember, put your hope in the Lord. But we don't feel like we've got our best foot forward. And it's just that thought of, hospitality. It's like opening up your home. You put out the very best. And it's not about being fancy or going overboard. It's about being comfortable and saying we care about you. And it's not that we've abandoned our units or we've done a poor job. They've done a great job in serving their purpose. 80 years, 50 years, 40 years. Lakeside is not brand new. That's what, Dale, are we looking at over 25 to 30 years? And so they run their course, and it's time to give them some attention. I'm going to bring you into our world a little bit here in guest services. We track the guest responses throughout the year. As of now, in 2013, our guests, this is how they're rating things excellent. We do excellent, good, and poor. We don't want to be anywhere else but in the excellent category. But you can see, and I'll read them out to you, from the left, the lowest one is guest room condition. Then guest room overall comfort and quality. Then meeting room, then food service dining, then staff. Second from last is grounds and gardens. And the very last one is overall conference experience. And years ago, we set a goal of 80%. We want to say that 80% at a minimum of our guests are rating all of our areas as excellent. And then when we achieve those, then we set a new goal of 90. That's what we're reaching for now. And we're on our way, except over on the far left. Look at the gap that we have to make up in that area. And for many, this is, if it's next to their first impression of Mount Hermon. The first ones at the front desk with the staff greeting them, they get handed a key. This is their very next impression of Mount Hermon. And they're letting us know, too. We get great feedback on our nice accommodations. But we get some of these, too. Friends, the furniture is broken. The height of bed sofa cannot be sat upon. Generally, furnishings and buildings need replacement or refinishing. The noise from the water running, the toilet, the shower from the adjacent room was somewhat bothersome. But I don't really come expecting to get much sleep. Mount Hermon serves its purposes, but it's not the Ritz. Thank you. It saddens me to see Lakeside run down, the lampshades, the floor in the bathroom torn up, etc. It's difficult to rate all the guest rooms together because some of them were fabulous and others weren't. This is a group leader, and that happens a lot, right? Well, how do we do on our accommodations? Well, which ones? There's some real differences here. If you're talking about Live Oak or you're heading off to one of the cabins hanging off the cliff, you know, that's really different. I like this one. Come on, have you stayed in one of those rooms? That's all it said. That's all they needed to say. But we know this to be true. When in a room that is renovated, comfort and quality is excellent. We love to hear that. And we work with an amazing team. Dale's going to share some in a little bit here about that. Mark Lilly and Janie Price with designs and others. When we get into one of those units and we transform this thing and make it comfortable again, the kind of place we're excited to hand folks the key to, it makes all the difference. Looking at the design I want to share with you, we went to a design show in Vegas and saw this. What do you think? For a matter? Wait, give it a chance. Hold on. It's plastic, so it's really easy to wipe down. You can hose it down. It's got the floral theme going, right? Trying to make it work. The back tall flower, that's the shower. It's pretty cool. You walk in and you just turn till you get into the very center. It works great. We saw all kinds of stuff. How about that? That really, if not blue, red. Red would look nice and royal. Or we saw beds with 80-inch plasma screens built into them, which some of the guys are like, that's awesome. Let's do that. Now, this is a Mount Hermon look right here. We have two distinct looks and feels to our accommodations where we're headed. This is where we're going. The lodge style is the first one, and that's just the good old-fashioned log cabin up in the mountains. This is a retreat center. We want to bring people to a place where God's creation is just celebrated. Obviously outside when you're out here in these redwoods, but then when you go into your room, it's just like it's all brought in there. And everything about this is simple and comfortable. And then the ministry starts happening right away. The barriers are taking down and people feel like, oh, this is so relaxing. This is exactly what I needed. It's Friday night. It's 7 p.m. I just got off of 17. I've never been to this place before. Or this is, you know, my 10th time to Mount Hermon. This is what I count on, this feeling right here. Our staff, we're really proud in a good sense to present this to guests when we walk into a room with them. I was with a group of inner city ladies, African Americans, just sweet, sweet ladies. And they were just dressed for church on a Friday night. And it was rainy. And at the time, it was evergreen. We used that, fixed that up now. It's for our interns in Amada. But we walked into the unit, and these ladies with their winter coats and their skirts and high heels and everything, and walked in. And first of all, that's that Mount Hermon sort of must hit you. Poof, you know, got me too. And we sat down. It was just silent. And I could just see it on their hearts. They wished they were somewhere else. Maybe not even at Mount Hermon at all. And I thought, this is not what we're about. Thankfully, we were able to take care of them. But it's that feeling we don't really want to be a part of. And so this just is everything about refreshing, safe, clean, relaxed. The next style is heritage. And this is when you walk into a place at Mount Hermon, and it might be a 1920s or 30s cabin, and you just feel like, don't touch it. It's almost perfect. It's got some funky things that happened in the 70s, but we got to pull that out, and we got to put back what was originally there and recapture the feel of that coastal mountain cottage and this heritage look. So where in the lodge you'll get the darker woods and the log, in here you might find, instead of a log bed, a black wrought iron bed frame or painted antique furniture and patterns and very light and airy. And both of those just, I hope you agree, just feel like Mount Hermon. And they're timeless. We're not trying to capture the latest and greatest contemporary design and then try and catch up again, you know, in 5 years. This is Mount Hermon. And we want to overcome. And when I say a barrier to ministry, it's really a significant barrier to ministry. You saw how they rated it. They let us know. And we're just serving a new and different clientele these days, and it's exciting. We have a lot more professional conferences coming through in the midweek, And a lot of people from different cultures who just are nervous to try out a new place. And we want them to come here and feel blessed and comfortable. That's us becoming their companions and spreading the truth. I'm going to bring Dale up here. We work close together on this. And he's going to share with you some things that are working towards this vision right now as we speak.
Thanks, Bill. My name is Dale Pollock. I'm part of that team, the design and development team that Bill spoke about. And I get the privilege. I get the privilege of implementing this vision that we've come up with. And I'm so excited about it. Coming up with these two themes, like Bill said, timeless. These things are not going to, through the decades, change. And so it's kind of going back to Mount Hermon roots, and we're very excited about it. Another thing it is it's making things more efficient. I mean, if you stayed in various rooms, you're out there, you see all kinds of things out there. And for the staff, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to try to maintain things that are broken, maintain things that are wore out. You know, some things are clean. You don't, some of the old carpets, they got stains. They've been around a while. They're clean, but they're just hard to take care of. So it takes, effort for the staff to try to continue to maintain things that are worn out, worn down. So this is kind of refreshing things, getting things back to a level where we can easily maintain them and the guests can enjoy them year after year after year. So very excited about that. But you may only stay in Live Oak. Maybe you stay in some of these nicer rooms. You're like, what are you guys talking about? These rooms are great. Everything works. We're happy. You guys must be thinking of somewhere else. How'd you like to wake up to that carpet every morning? I mean, before your cup of coffee, you walk out, stare at that. I mean, that would make me dizzy. I was roaming around the other day, and I came upon this carpet, and I'm thinking, I've seen this carpet before. And now I remember my grandparents had this carpet in their house when I was a kid. And so I know how long that carpet's been around, okay? And it's clean, but it's probably just dirty. Maybe it's got some odors to it, whatever. Those are the kind of things that we're just trying to eliminate. And we're like Bill said, we're not trying to be the Ritz. We're not trying to be the Grand Wailea in Maui. We're just trying to keep things simple, but clean, functional, bringing things back to a state where, it's enjoyable and it's not a barrier to ministry. I read a response, it was a while back, and it said something about the shower. It was written out. I didn't get to talk to the people. The shower didn't really work all week. So we really didn't get a proper shower all week. That's a barrier to ministry. When somebody doesn't really get a good shower all week, that could be a problem. So those are the kind of things that we're just trying to eliminate. Allow people to focus on what's important. I mean, if you've got problems in your rooms, your lights don't work, your toilet's not flushing, those are barriers. And we don't want you to have to focus on those things. We want you to focus on the reasons that you've come to Mount Hermon, listen to the speakers, build relationships. Those are the kind of things we want you to focus on, not the problems in your rooms. So we had a very generous gift at the beginning of the summer, and we started to implement this vision right away. So we were able to get into some of the rooms, some of the more challenging rooms, and make this vision happen. So we've got Oak Maple Madrone. We've been able to get into there, refresh it, new furniture. We put the log theme. We started the log theme in Oak Maple Madrone, log furniture, just clean, just comfortable. There was some old carpet in there, taking that out, doing more with laminate flooring. Doesn't hold the odors, doesn't get stained, so it's easy to maintain. Upper and Lower Holly, those are cabins that were probably built in the 20s and 30s. So continuing that heritage theme there with just, fresh, clean, more painted wood, not natural woods, but just taking these two styles and starting to implement throughout the conference center. So again, I was wandering around, and I came upon these two stoves. This one here, as I started to look closer, it was kind of built in somebody's garage. It had like a wood frame around it, and this part here was inserted. It had a top. I'm thinking, wow, okay, this maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, not sure. Don't know where it came from. Maybe somebody, you know, built it at home and brought it to Mount Hermon. That often happens, okay? I'm not kidding. So then I'm looking over at this one, and I see this little burn mark here on the corner. And I'm thinking, oh, and there's the fire extinguisher. Did it catch on fire so we put a fire extinguisher there, or is that just in case it catches on fire? Not quite sure. Wasn't too thrilled about that. Then I look closer, and there's this notice on there. To light oven, pilot, remove bottom panel, inside oven, insert. We don't even want to do that. So we're asking our guests to, you know, to handle situations like this, all right? Not good, all right? This is the kind of things we don't want to have to put our guests through, all right? This is what we're talking about. So it's just about going in and refreshing, making things usable, functional, comfort, and pleasing. And so, like you say, it's not the Ritz. We're not talking about, you know, spending tons of money, just bringing things up to a level. What we have three levels now. I think it's deluxe, standard, economy. And as a group, as we're thinking about that, we're thinking, wait a minute. We have deluxe, so we have standard, and then we have economy, so we have something below standard. So what kind of message is that sending to our guests? You know, we have substandard rooms out there that we'd love for you guys to enjoy. No. So that's why going back to those two, you know, heritage and lodge style, we can create a standard now that is appropriate and just kind of allows people to feel more, I don't know, treated, I guess, when they come to Mount Hermon. A good first impression. I think that's what we're talking about. Another area that I'm very excited that we're paying attention to is just keeping up the assets at Mount Hermon. God has given us a lot of great assets around here. This auditorium, a lot of people wish we hadn't maintained the auditorium as well as it was. And maybe, you know, it should be replaced in its day. Right now, it's doing a great job. But the field house, you think, what do you mean maintain the field house? That thing's only, couple years old. Field house is 7 years old now and starting to show its age. Before the summer, that siding had turned about 10 shades lighter than it was when we first stained it. So with generous donations and this group, let me tell you, this group, the staff really resonates with this group, and we love this group because you guys get it. You guys understand what it takes to try to maintain 300 buildings and all the grounds and everything. And it's a huge job. And without a group like this, partnering with Mount Hermon, a lot of this stuff never would get done. So thank you. So we were able to get in there and restain the building back to its original color that it was before, and added the lighthouse because you know how foggy it gets around here sometimes. So, just doing things like that, carrying that theme through, trying to maintain the assets that we've that God has given us. Another area that we've been working on, and we have a great vision for Redwood Camp. Don't know how much they spoke about that, maybe last night, or if you've talked to JR and Kerry. In the capital campaign, we have a plan for Redwood Camp. We're going to take it back to a more of a kind of a railroad western theme down there, and have a lot of great plans for new lodging, new cabins, recreation, new pavilion. But with generous donations from, I think it was the All-Comers Conference, they decided, hey, we would like to start that vision and provide a new entrance gate. The other one was getting a little scary. And so we were able to do that and start that theme with kind of the Western Railroad as you come into Redwood Camp, kind of to set that tone. And then we were able to, again, with some generous donations, start working on some of the play structures down there and a new tree house that was built by Nate and his crew and some swings that are larger to life and just trying to set that theme down at Redwood. Now, going green, Mount Hermon is finally been able to take advantage of some of the technology, the things that are out there that just really help the bottom line. And one of those is solar panels. So I know solar's been around for a long time, but when you've got buildings the size of the dining commons and the field house, and it takes, you know, it takes some funds to put a solar panel system on top of those roofs. But we've been able to do that. We've been able to do it at the field house and down at the shops where we have our maintenance facilities, and offsetting 100% of the electricity being used at those two sites. So amazing. I'm so excited about continuing that on through Mount Hermon to some of the other buildings. Wait, go back one more slide, Andrew. LED lighting, this is great. I mean, this is going to help tremendously. We've already been doing this. And the power of the two, LED lighting, reducing the amount of electricity plus solar panels. If you retrofit with LED first, you need less solar panels to take care of the power load. So we've been in the dining room retrofitting most of the lighting, if not probably all the lighting now, in all four dining rooms. We'll be doing it in the auditorium with these lights as well. So just implementing that throughout the facilities to try to help the bottom line. Safety and security. Just starting to provide some things for you guys that you're just used to. You go to a hotel room, providing door locks that are easy to use. These are the RFID type. Probably don't need to know all that information, but they're the type that you just need to touch. So easy to use, very convenient. I saw somebody the other day, they had their hands full, right? And they got their key in their back pocket, and they just kind of went over, touched the door, opened the door up. They could go right in the room. So making it easier for people to get in their rooms. Also, safes in the rooms. This is nothing, you know, spectacular. Just things that you're used to having when you're in away from home. You got your valuables. You want to just, you know, put them in the room, keep them safe, peace of mind. You don't have to worry about it. We're just trying to eliminate those barriers to ministry. And I think that's it. Thank you. Thank you all for all that you do. And turn it over to Carrie.
Thank you, Del and Bill. They are so knowledgeable and critical to everything that happens around here. Well, you know, I didn't introduce myself last night. I'm sorry about that. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Carrie Phibbs, and I am so thankful to be a part of this terrific team of people. I'm going to do a little stage remodel here. We talk so much about the importance of the associate family and how much we love you all and what an important part you play in everything that happens here. Well, one of the things that we love to get out there is a sense of family amongst this group and that you all get to know each other. And we wanted to take a moment to introduce you to a couple that we thought really typifies in some ways what's happening this weekend. We intentionally wanted to give an opportunity for some younger families to be able to come that had children. It was harder for them to get away. In the May event, it's hard for them to find childcare for their kids. And so they also can't leave the house without bringing their kids to Mount Hermon. There would have been a riot. So yeah, I know you all know their kids, they're going, "You're going to Mount Hermon? Well, why can't we go?" So that's one of the reasons that we implemented this weekend this summer. So I want to ask you to welcome up Scott and Chris Peterson, one of our associate families. Come on up, y'all. I'm going to grab another mic. These are some homegrown, I'm going to let y'all share that a little bit.
All right.
We're just going to spend a few minutes here so you all get to know Scott and Chris a little bit. So first off, y'all, just give us a little history here. Give us a little Mount Hermon mini Reader's Digest version of your legacy here with Mount Hermon.
So I have a brother and sister who are 12 and 15 years older than I am, and they were campers at Redwood Camp in the 70s. And so I grew up just hearing about Redwood Camp all the time and couldn't wait to come. And finally, you know, I was 8 years old and time for my turn to come to Redwood Camp, and we drove up. We came first to church, and I saw the sign in the crosswalk that said "Stop for Presbyterians" in the crosswalk, and I thought, "Wow, this is a little more elitist than I thought." I mean, it was really lucky that we were Presbyterians, but But I thought, gosh, the Methodists and the Lutherans, like, they better get across that crosswalk fast because nobody's stopping for them. But luckily, my mom corrected me that it was actually pedestrians and what that was. So, woo. But yeah, so I started coming as an entering fourth grader, and this is actually circa 1984, wow. 85 t-shirt. This is, you meet the nicest people at Mount Hermon's Redwood Camp, oh. And it's very true. So I grew up coming to every possible junior getaway and spring fling and all these things at Redwood Camp, and then Ponderosa Lodge as a high schooler, and then Silt in 92. And then?
then I had a roommate in college who invited me to come up to Mount Hermon as a counselor for a weekend, actually one of the weekend camps at Redwood Camp. And I didn't know what to expect, but when I got here, I realized, oh my gosh, this is the same place I dropped my sister off for her camp growing up. And that became sort of my gateway to becoming a counselor in 1993. In 1993, I actually met this really cool person who basically we started hanging out more, and we kind of fooled around with each other in terms of like playing pranks on each other and whatnot. And
not that kind of thing.
Although you wouldn't know from one of the campers was kind of noticing a little bit of extra tension between myself and this person, and I said, "You better watch out, man. You're gonna get in love, sucker." And I did not heed his warning, mm-hmm. because I did, and that's how I met Chris. So it's been an amazing place, you know, Mount Hermon, especially Redwood Camp, because, I mean, just coming back here sort of reminds me of what it was like back then and meeting her.
Yeah. And then we actually got married in 97, and we decided, since Mount Hermon was such an important part of our meeting and our lives, that we had our reception at the meadow at Redwood Camp, and we thought, gosh, you don't even want to decorate, because it's just the redwood trees and everything was beautiful. So that's where we had our wedding. And then we now have a 13-year-old and a 9-year-old who just finished weeks at Pondy and Redwood Camp too. So,
hang on to that. It's sweet. I was telling Chris and Scott a little bit about some of the improvements that we have coming to Redwood Camp and how excited we are about what we're going to be able to do in the expansion of ministry. And Chris was just a little distressed by that, because she said, no, it should be mud and dirt. That's the way it is at Redwood Camp. You know, there's no sidewalks. What's this sidewalk doing here? So we had to kind of pull her into the 21st century now and come on board. So Scott and Chris, there's a lot of great ministries out there doing good work for the Lord. But why is it that you... Well, I might have just answered that question by that last answer. What is it you all have chosen to partner with us in supporting Mount Hermon?
Yeah, there are so many amazing places to give, and so many worthy organizations and causes. And we were talking about this, and I just really feel the magnitude of what can happen in such a short amount of time here at Mount Hermon, even if it's just a weekend, but particularly a week of family camp or a week of Redwood Camp, both for me personally, what I've experienced in that short amount of time, but just what I see and hear from all these stories, and to be able to contribute to a place and a community where there's so much bang for your buck, basically, that somebody comes for a short amount of time, and it's you know, lives transformed, like the slogan here. It's absolutely true, and so that's one of the main reasons for me, both just the personal connection, but also knowing that whatever I give is going to go so far.
Yeah, I think for me too. I probably have, you know, whenever somebody says, you know, you sort of get out what you put in. I actually think of Mount Hermon and my experience here, because I never have worked harder in my life than I did as a camp counselor, going to bed at 9 p.m. and just being completely exhausted. And I think that's something that I see consistent You know, when we just dropped off our kids to Redwood Camp, this is their last week of summer, and I know what the last week of summer at Redwood Camp feels like, and you're just dragging tail because of all the work you put in during the summer. And these guys, I couldn't tell. It was like it could have been the first week. They were so energetic and just the sort of welcoming that they gave to Owen and the little catchy, "Welcome to Redwood Camp. We're glad you're here." I kept singing that all week long, and like I'm not even working here anymore. These guys are hooking into me. So yeah, I think it's that energy is unbelievable and really just a special part of this place.
Thanks. I just was thinking, you heard that about Owen and Ben, their kids, and what is the legacy that you all would like to leave for your children and grandchildren? And Chris's mom is part of the legacy here at Mount Hermon as well. I remember her when JR and I started in 98. She was one of the first people I remember. So what are you trying to leave for Ben and Owen?
I remember, I think it was 2009, the Associates Weekend, when the economy was not the strongest, and we were really talking about some hard times and giving, and I heard the story for the first time back in World War II, I think it was, where conferees were asked to bring their rations of sugar with them to family camp, and I was thinking, wow, that's... you know, I think about giving money, but I think that really just struck me and has kept with me as part of this idea of legacy and community and belonging, that even if you have to bring your own sugar, we still get together and make this happen. And I want for Ben and Owen that sense of this feels like home. And that's, when I was growing up, my family life was pretty dark, and I was able to come here, you know, every chance I got, because this was a light, and this was the week of the year where I felt that lift, and I could feel like there was community and belonging and love and inclusion, and I want Ben and Owen, and they already actually feel that coming here. They know where everything is, and they have their run of the place, and I feel I remember that sense of the bag of sugar that. At Mount Hermon and other places now, I think, what is my bag of sugar now? What is it that I can give? And my mom, for instance, you know, is retired and on a very limited income now and isn't able to give money, but she has her bag of sugar that she takes the longest showers every night because she prays throughout the entire shower, and I know every night she's praying for Mount Hermon, and that's her bag of sugar right now. And there was the period where we were counselors that we didn't have any money to give, but we gave of our hearts and our souls, and that was our bag of sugar. And so I want to provide the opportunity for Ben and Owen to be receiving right now what Mount Hermon has to offer, but then to be shifting to think about what is their bag of sugar that they'll be able to contribute and bring to this place, because I think everybody in this room each has had that bag of sugar that it's different at every time of their life, but this isn't a place that you just come and receive. It's a place that you come and give of yourself to, and that could be sitting at a table with first-timers and sharing your story and sharing the love of Christ, and that could be your bag of sugar for that week if that's what you have to give. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
I was going to say, top that.
Oh, shoot. Okay, I'm not going to top it. I actually resonated a lot with what, well, obviously with what you're saying mostly, first, but also with what Bill said about the creek and just the scale of nature here, the redwood trees being so huge and the creek canyon being so deep, you know, there's quite a contrast between how you know, I'm not going to say you feel small. It's more like just nature feels so big here. You can really see, you know, God's touch on just a small piece of land, but how special it is. And you know, going on a creek walk with with Ben and with our family. You know, we'd love to do that now, but it's, you know, sort of remembering back to from when we were counselors, just that being a kind of a special time to sort of get back in touch with nature and to have that be a part of their lives now and something that we all bond together with is really great.
Thank you, Scott and Chris, for sharing. I know a lot of you resonate and have your own stories in that same regard, and many pockets of their story, I'm sure, are part of your story. So we just wanted you to meet them and to be able to exchange stories amongst yourself about your legacy at Mount Hermon, and I know we all have one.